I've been reading a new book by Andrea Wolfe, and the book details the gardening and agricultural philosophies of our first four founding fathers. It's called Founding Gardeners. And I was especially interested in one of our Northern Neckborn founding gardeners, James Madison, who was intensely concerned with the protection of his young nation's environment. And the author suggests he was, in fact, our first real environmentalist and conservationist. After his retirement from politics to Montpelier, his home and property, he fashioned the place into a microcosm of what he hoped would be an example for the rest of the country. He was passionate about the forests surrounding Montpelier, and he made the great trees a centerpiece of his and his gardener's plans, taking, quote, the elements of the English landscape park and combined them with the American wilderness. There was something else. According to author Wolfe, 50 yards from the Madison Mansion were very neat slave quarters for a few families of slaves. The cottages had raised floors, glass windows, more than a little unusual habitat for slaves. These were for the domestic slaves, those who worked in the mansion, the field slaves. Their cabins were out of sight, well behind the mansion. So why did Madison decide on this strange and virtually unheard-of placement? Well, Andrea Wolfe suggests that Madison, in his retirement, expected a large number of visitors. They would surely scrutinize the slave quarters and even publish articles about such things when they got home. And this slave village, as Wolfe calls it, in full sight of visitors, was perhaps a way for Madison to, quote, reconcile the idea of slavery with his beliefs in liberty and equality. So make what you will of that. Back to Madison, the environmentalist, he educated himself with the works of Malthus and Joseph Priestley and others. When the Agricultural Society of Albemarle was formed, he was unanimously elected as its very first president. A year later, in 1818, he gave a speech at the society meeting which resonated far and wide. His words for their time could almost be characterized as revolutionary. He talked about the reciprocity and balance of nature, ideas that hadn't been heard in young America. He said that not everything could be appropriated for the increase of the human part of creation, and that the preservation of our environment was essential for the survival of mankind. Author Andrea Wolfe tells us that Madison was the first to weave together a myriad of theories from different areas into one comprehensive idea. How splendid to learn that this man, one of the fathers of our revolution for independence, is also the father of the revolution for interdependence between man and nature. This is Thea Marshall.